Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bags, the podcast for below average golfers by two below average golfers. My name is Owen Smith. Today we are doing something a little differently. The front half of this podcast, probably the first 10, 15 minutes or so, are just going to be me talking. And then the back half, the last 15 minutes or so, is going to be Caleb talking. Due to scheduling conflicts this week, we decided to do something a little different. We're still strategizing for September 18th. If you're not aware, we're going out to Arrowhead Golf Course in Indiana. We are trying to birdie all 18 holes. We've talked about it a ton. If you want to learn more and more about it, and more specifics on the actual challenge, you can go to the description below, access the links there, learn all about that. Essentially, what we're doing, though, is we have to birdie all 18 holes. We have to do it in about 12 hours or so. And what we've been doing is that we've been strategizing for that day. So a lot of our strategy has been focused on the golf, and that's what Caleb will focus on, of course. I wanted to introduce a separate topic. I think something that maybe is being downplayed a little bit by us, maybe a little bit of an oversight, and something that I do think is going to be important for that day. And that is just overall keeping the energy, keeping ourselves healthy for it, and just being able to give us the opportunities to have the best performance ultimately for the entire day. So one of my big concerns is that neither of us have played a whole lot of golf beyond, I'd say, you know, on average, usually we're not going over 18 holes a day. I now have played, the most I've played is 27 holes in a day. I think the most that Caleb has played is 54. Now, 54 is clearly double 27, so he's done double what I have. But the reason I bring it up is that I played 27 over the weekend. I was not feeling too great the next day. Part of that is because of the hydration. So that made me take a step back and go, you know what? There are things that need to be addressed. I need to address personally how I'm going to go about this so that I am not wore down as we get into the back half of the day. Because if we are doing the math, if my math is correct and if I remember correctly, I mean, we're looking at playing 72 holes that day. That's based on being able to finish 18 holes in 3 hours. We're playing a continuous loop of Arrowhead. I think early on, we're probably going to be able to get in a lot more golf a lot quicker. So that average may, you know, we end up maybe playing 84 holes or, you know, 80 holes or whatever it is. Once we birdie a hole, we're done with it. So that doesn't mean that we're playing the full 18 over and over again. But again, just kind of an average of, I think that if I had to guess, we're going to be playing anywhere from 70 to 80 holes in that day. So my worry is that because neither of us have played that much golf, because this is going to be a grueling challenge, I'm worried that we're going to gas ourselves out too quickly, or that we're going to be paying for the consequences the next day. Now, for the challenge purposes, paying the consequences the next day, that's just part of it. I'm not too worried that, like, my bigger concern is like making sure that, again, we're going out there for 12 hours. I do not want to get into hour six, hour seven, still have solid daylight, still have a lot of opportunity ahead of us to birdie these holes, and start running into some issues there. So just wanted to give a little thought on some areas. I am far from an expert on this. I am ridiculously far from an expert, but luckily in the past year, I have participated in 2 half marathons. And as a result of that, I've gone through different training programs associated with those. Right now I'm actually starting my third half marathon training program. It's a 12-week training program. Clearly you ramp up for it a lot different, clearly, to be running for 13.1 miles or training for a marathon and running 26 miles. Like, clearly different. We're going to be in carts. We're going to be playing golf, like, different, but to be up and moving, to not be just kind of sitting around and whatever for, you know, 12 hours, like, that is an endurance event. I consider this an endurance event. We're going to be tested in ways that we haven't been tested before in golf. I personally haven't played a whole lot of, like, tournament golf. I haven't played a whole lot of competitive golf. It's always been a little, you know, a little more lax. And so ultimately, all that to say, there's some things that I've learned from training for the half marathons and preparing for those half marathons that I do want to bring to the table here, because I do think it's going to be important. So there's a few categories that I kind of want to hit on and just some thoughts that I have for those. And I think that it's something that has been overlooked, and I don't want to be pushed aside. So ultimately, the key things for me and the key things that I think we need to strategize on is diet of the day of, hydration the day of, injury prevention, exercise, and just ultimately kind of like mental aspect of it. And there's one other category, and that's clothing. Clothing, I think, is going to be sneakily important. So the diet, it's not like I'm saying we need to go on a diet plan or anything like that. It's more of, I think that if we go into it and we don't prepare to have snacks, to have like these, again, performance-based meals or whatever, I think that we could pay for it in the end. And I think that it's going to be important to give ourselves a good breakfast, give ourselves a good mid-morning snack, give us ourselves a good lunch, give ourselves an afternoon snack. And then depending on the timing, maybe give ourselves a dinner. And I think that those need to be carb heavy. I think that it needs to be the healthy carbs. I don't know what that means necessarily. But I know that in my experience with running the half marathons, that looks like, you know, potentially like oatmeal. That looks like bananas. It looks like energy bars. Like there's a lot of things out there. And clearly, like as we get closer to it, I'll be a little more specific on what that's going to look like. But I do think like a carb loading, keeping things light, but also like keeping them good volume as far as the carbs go. Again, more targeted. I'm not saying just like eat pizza and stuff like that. Like truly being intentional about our diet, I think is going to be important. Second, and I think probably the most important, regardless of what we eat, I think hydration is going to be absolute key. I think it's something that is key in everyday life. I know that it's extremely key in running, and the benefit that you have when you participate in half marathons is that every single, like, I think it's every single mile, or I don't know like what their strategy is, but there's water stations and there's electrolyte stations and stuff like that. Now, where you have a clubhouse out there, it's only between holes 9 and 10. So we're going to have to be a little more prepared to bring our own hydration. So I think that we should be shooting for 2 gallons of hydration that day. It sounds like a lot, but the way I broke it down is that if we have 27 ounces every 9 holes, again, based on playing 72 holes, we're going to be able to easily crush that number. Now, if you're familiar with a hydro flask, if you're familiar with a Yeti, that's taking down one of those every 9 holes. I think you break it down even quicker than that, or even smaller than that, it's 3 ounces a hole. I think that's absolutely, absolutely doable there. I think it doesn't have to be just water. I think liquid IV will be important. Electrolyte, you know, name your favorite electrolyte drink. I think that that's going to be important. And I think, again, I just experienced not drinking a ton of water and playing 27 holes in the dead heat of summer. And I experienced the next day, but also just how I was feeling on holes, you know, 20, 26, 27. Towards the end. And if we're talking about almost tripling that, then again, I get a little more worried about it. So I think that we need to hit on those two things. I think ultimately, like, again, there's not like a training plan for this. But I do think that stretching is going to be important as well. I personally plan to wake up early that day, wake up, go for a walk, jog, you know, kind of just go through like something to kind of loosen myself up, then do some stretching, or maybe do stretching beforehand, do some stretching. I think stretching every 9-18 holes, like maybe somewhere depending on how we're feeling. Okay. That's going to be important. And I think just overall, like we can't prevent the inevitable. Like if something's going to happen, it's likely going to happen. But if we can prevent injury in any way, I think stretching is going to be a part of that. I think, you know, the hydration will definitely be part of that as well. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician, whatever it is. So I'm not, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do know what's worked for me in injury prevention so far. And the running stuff is being more prepared on that and taking care of the body the day of and leading up to it as well. Exercise. I mean, we're going to be playing golf. Like, I don't think, like, you know, I think the exercise is important for everyday life. For this, I don't think there's anything specific that we should be doing. I think that we should definitely be prepared for this to be a grueling challenge. Like, I think if we downplay this to not be a grueling challenge, that's where we're going to find ourselves in some trouble. So I know Caleb's talked about it. I don't think Caleb views it the same way I do. And maybe that's because he has played 54 holes and he's been all right. And maybe I'm just overthinking it. But based on how I am, based on my experiences with that, like, I do think that it is important, and I do think it's not something that should be overlooked. And I think it's definitely something that needs to be addressed on the podcast, because I am a little more anxious about some of that. Either way, like, for me personally, I will be, again, starting this training program. So I'll be, at that point, 5 to 6 weeks in. So, you know, plenty of training from, like, a cardio standpoint, which I think will be helpful. I'm doing some lifting, some, you know, resistance training, which always helps a little bit as well. But yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to dive into that category, but I think if we're just sedentary until that takes place on September 18th, I think that we'll be hurting more, than if we get a little more active there. The last thing, and I think sneakily the most important thing, is clothing. I think that, I would say outside hydration, I think that it's important that we have multiple sets of clothes, undergarments, socks. Like, I think those are going to be the most important. And then a change of clothes, like, feel fresh, start a new chapter, and all of that. So again, this is pretty basic stuff, but I really just wanted to kind of get it out on the record. I don't want it to be overshadowed. I don't want it to be something that we don't think of. I'm trying to prepare as much as I can to give myself a 14 handicap and to give Caleb a 9 handicap, I believe. Like, I want to give us the best opportunities to take this down. And if we're hurting in hour 6 and hour 7 and we still have, you know, 4 or 5 hours ahead of us, I don't want to, I just don't want to look back and regret that I didn't take that a little more serious. So now we'll get into the golf. Caleb's going to take us hole by hole, and really get into the golf side of it, the more important side, I would say, because ultimately, like, what's this physical training and exercise and all that stuff good for if we can't perform on the golf side as well? So I'll kick it over to Caleb. He'll take us through holes 10, 11, and 12. We will be back next week, hopefully with a normal style podcast. We'll be breaking down the rest of the holes, and hopefully having some guests coming up soon. So we'll kick it over to Caleb now.
Thanks, Owen. We'll break down these holes 10 to 12 now. So yeah, hole 10 out at Arrowhead. It's kind of a tricky, it's definitely a risk reward hole. It's got the creek that runs about, you know, 50 yards in front of the green. And then it's protected by trees. It's a slight dog leg to the right. And it's also got the 18th tee box over, kind of in front of the green, I guess, depending on where you go. I like going for it over the creek. It's definitely easier said than done with those trees. I've definitely been caught behind those trees plenty of times, which is not fun. But like I said, it is a risk reward hole. If you make it across the green, you're, you know, liable to roll it up there close, and then you have a short chip, and then hopefully you have a short putt, which is hopefully, you know, something that we'll be able to do on our challenge today. But yeah, it's you got two, let's see, you got 275 to the end of the fairway. If you stay right down the middle, you have about 100 yards in. That's definitely an option, right? Like, if we're not feeling it with the driver, if we, you know, the wind is not helping us, if the wind is hurting, it's definitely going to make things harder to go for it. But if the wind's behind us, you know, we kind of we have a yellow light almost, a yellow light that maybe just got done turning green. And then hopefully the leaves are down. If we don't have to worry about the leaves, or if there's a right next to 18th tee box, there's a kind of grove that grows up a little bit. If that's mown down, then it's a green light for sure. So we'll call this hole a yellow light hole just to kind of, you know, figure out what we want to do, on that day. But yeah, 275 yards to the end of the fairway leaves you 100 yards in. If not, I like to take a longer iron, a 7-iron, 6-iron, 5-iron, somewhere around there. Just poke one out into the middle, leave you, you know, 140-ish, depending on where you're at, 150-ish, on the shorter side there. But then, you know, leads into a green that's sloped from front to back the entire way. There's a weird portion of the green that kind of bubbles up a little bit that's in the back. So I'm hoping, you know, if we've talked about, if you've listened before, if we have the creative control, we're not going to put the flag in the back. I'm hoping that we can put it, you know, anywhere else pretty much besides probably the back left. Back left, there's a little raise that kind of goes into the back of the green. So if you go long, you have to go over the hill, and then you're going back down towards the hole. So the hole is definitely, it's in a better spot if it's in the middle, if it's in the front left, front right. That way, you know, there's not that hill that you really have to go over. You can kind of just have a normal uphill chip, or, you know, normal uphill putt. So hopefully we can make easy work of this hole. Hopefully this is one that we don't have to play too often, because we have the chance to lose some golf balls on that one. And that's definitely not what we're trying to do. But yeah, hole 10, we'll call it the first of the yellow light holes, really. To where, you know, it's probably going to be one that we go after. But then again, you know, if the wind's not there, if we have that little grove that I mentioned, you know, it may be somewhere, it might be safer just to lay up, which going after birdies is hard to lay up. But, you know, if that's the best choice, then, you know, we'll just take that 9-iron in, we'll take that 8-iron in, and then we'll try to stick one close and either make a good putt or tap one in, depending on where we're at. Moving on to hole number 11. Hole number 11 is a straight shot. To the hole is 375 yards. So it's definitely one of those where you kind of have to pick what you're going to do here, because there's trees all along the left side, which is out of bounds. My ball loves going into those trees. For some reason, I can aim right all day, but that's the one where I'll like snap hook it or whatever. Or if I have a beautiful draw, it's the one time that I don't want to have the draw that goes into the trees. But yeah, we do have a creek to deal with. The start of the creek is about 295, and then it runs kind of diagonal through the hole, to where it kind of tops out as far as distance wise at 340, where you're safe. So kind of runs that diagonal. Funny story. In an outing one time, I told myself, hey, I'm just going to try to clear the creek, that front side, that 290. And we'll see what happens. We're in an outing. I don't really care. Smoked my drive, actually hit the bridge, that covers, you know, that goes over that little creek. And it somehow kicked my ball forward about 30 yards. And so I only had about, you know, 50 yards in, 40 yards in on this hole. Got super lucky. I'm hoping that we made birdie. I can't remember, but hopefully, you know, if we try to go that route, maybe we'll get lucky like that, on the challenge day and, you know, be able to hit the bridge and, you know, hit it, you know, knock it over and, only have a short chip in. But realistically, we're going to try to stay around that 275 mark. That gets us to pretty much the end of the fairway. And from there, we'll have about 100 yards in. depending on where we're at. I like this hole, you know, maybe taking my four wood, choking down on it a little bit, trying to be just accurate with this hole. There is a tree that's kind of protecting the right side of the green from the fairway. So if we need to, we can go over it, but it's definitely one that you want to try to avoid. So if we can be, you know, 245 to 260, we're going to be in really good shape, leading us to, you know, a pitching wedge or a nine iron. You know, I might even go eight depending on the wind. It's protected with the trees, but as soon as you get it up above that trees, you know, it could swirl, and then leave us to, you know, have us guessing like, why did the ball do this? So yeah, the play here, I think, is going to be, at least for me, the four wood down the, try to get it down the middle. The left side does have a little bit of a ditch leading from the fairway to the trees. So if you're down there, it's normally wet, or soggy or soft, even if it's in the dead of summer. So you're going to get a lot of fat shots through there. Hopefully we don't have to deal with that at all. And we can stay, you know, towards the middle or towards the right, to where, if we, like I said, if we have to go over that tree, we have to go over that tree, but, going to try to avoid that. With that being said, I think the best part of this green is going to be the middle, all across the green, that, you know, an imaginary stripe across the green where it's going to be the middle. The front right kind of slopes from left to right. So if you get it up there, it's not a false front by any means, but it can, you know, it can carry your ball away. It does have a slight front to back, you know, raise in the green. So if you're on the front and the hole's in the back, then you're putting uphill most of the time. And then once you get to the back, there's a couple like little dips that you do, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. It looks like it's going to break 2 feet, and it only breaks, you know, 4 inches, or you think there's no break at all and it'll break a foot. So this green can be tricky depending on where the hole's at. So hopefully, you know, we can stick it in the middle or middle left. That way, you know, if we hit one down the right side or in the middle, we're not worrying about the tree. If the ball's on the left side, or if we hit it down the middle, then we're not worried about, you know, throwing it into the front right to where it's going to roll off or anything like that. And, I don't know how quickly we'll be able to get this hole. This hole definitely looks easy on paper. But I think it's going to be one of those holes that kind of just gives us trouble. Just from, you know, we want to make sure that we're short of the creek. If it's hard, we can get there. I've done it. I've seen Owen do it. So if, you know, if we get a good hard day, then, you know, we're going to try to make sure that we're short enough to where we're not hitting into the creek. And so then that's another thing to just think about while we're hitting, which can, you know, can be a bad thing, I guess. So yeah, just knock it short of the creek. Knock it on and hopefully, you know, make a good putt for our birdie. And then we'll gladly move on to the next. Especially with, like I said, the left side of this green loves to just, or left side of this hole just loves to take my ball anytime and every time it can, just swallow it up. So hopefully we can avoid that and get that one out of the way. And move on to the 12th hole, which from the white tees, let's see, white tees, it's reachable with a good bounce. It's 301. So again, like, I know that Owen and I can get there, but it's a straight shot, out of bounds right on the tree line with some houses. I can't confirm that Owen and I have hit a house before, but I can tell you that we've been close. Every time I hit one right to where I feel like it's going over the trees, I kind of just turn my head and listen and just hope that, you know, it doesn't hit a house. It doesn't hit a dog. There's an older gentleman that lives in pretty much the 150 marker adjacent. And he just sometimes will just appear out of nowhere with his dog and start walking his dog and not wear a leash or not have a leash on the dog. So the dog just kind of runs everywhere, which, whatever, I guess, it's interesting. The dog's name is Bobby Joe, which I think is hilarious. But yeah, hopefully we don't hit him. We don't hit, you know, the backyards. There is kind of like a tree line on the left side. But if you get past the big group of trees, you still have a shot in, from, you know, a little bit deeper. Probably have to play it low, but if you're playing it past those trees, you're probably going to want to play it low anyway, just because this green is a nightmare. This green is very much a turtle shell. It feels like the front probably 10 feet, you know, it slopes up pretty hard to the middle of the green, that it feels like the flat spot is maybe like a 5 foot radius. Otherwise you're going off to the left, you're going off to the right. And then, the back is, it slopes from the middle to the back down. So there's a little bit of a slope there that probably wouldn't carry your ball away. But I've really never been on the back portion of the green, unless the hole was back there and it was my chip or it was my second putt or my first putt to try to get there. Very tricky green. It's about 30 yards, you know, deep as far as the green goes. So I think we're going to want to be on the front where it's that gentle slope, from the front up to the middle, so that there's a little bit of an uphill putt opportunity. If we're short, but if we're long, we're probably off the green left or right anyway, because like I said, that middle portion of the green is tough. And I've seen the hole have some nasty hole placements. So yeah, I'm hoping that, we can talk Chad into, putting it on the front for us. But yeah, this stretch of holes is definitely tight. It's very risk reward for all three, I think. 10 can be drivable. I know somebody through the church that has a hole in one on this hole. So it is reachable, especially if you get a good bounce or two and the, you know, the wind is right and all of that. So yeah, hole 10, it can be done. Hopefully we can knock it close and then just chip it close and then just have a nice easy putt. That's my goal. That's probably going to be what I'm shooting for. And then hole 11, tight on the left side. The right is open. You're just going to end up in 17's fairway if you're not careful. And ending up over there is going to be really tough with the one tree and then the group of trees that's a little bit deeper on the right side. So hopefully keep it in the middle, knock it on, make a really good putt most likely, and then just take our medicine, move on, not have to worry about that one. And then 12, may try to choke up on the driver a little bit. Go after it to a degree, but also, like, I want to be in the middle of the fairway. Like, that's going to be the key to this hole, is being in the middle to where we have a good shot to attack from. Like I mentioned, going low is easier, I think, for me. I can kind of control that a little bit better than, you know, trying to flop one up over a tree or, you know, try to flop one up and get it to stop. I would much rather just keep it low, under some trees, and then roll it up on the green. But yeah, it's going to be a tough stretch of holes, for sure. So hopefully we can knock those out quick. Cause like I said, I'm guessing that those are going to be the ones that they're going to take a while. But we may get lucky and make quick work of them, and we can go from there. So yeah, that is holes 10 through 12. And we will, we'll send it back to Owen, for the, rest of the episode.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. Everybody, thank you for listening. We are looking forward to this challenge again, September 18th. Make sure you go into the links in the description below, and, looking forward to seeing you all, take place in this in some way, shape or form. So, once again, it's been Owen Smith and Caleb Wallen with the Bags Podcast. We'll see you next time. Tell you all the story about the Joker and the thief, I said. I'll tell you all the story about the Joker and the thief, I said.